Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, March 11th, 2015, and on today's podcast we're discussing a letter, the letter we'll call it, drafted by Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas and signed by 47 Republican senators. The letter, addressed as, quote, an open letter to the leaders of the Islamic Republic of Iran, end quote. The letter has drawn some interesting responses from the president and his spokespeople and from others. So we are going to talk about what the letter means, why it was sent, and so forth. But first, I'll read the letter to you, the actual letter, so you can hear it in its full context. Quote, an open letter to the leaders of the Islamic Republic of Iran. It has come to our attention while observing your nuclear negotiations with our government that you may not fully understand our constitutional system. Thus, we are writing to bring to your attention two features of our Constitution, the power to make binding international agreements and the different character of federal offices, which you should seriously consider as negotiations progress. First, under our Constitution, while the President negotiates international agreements, Congress plays the significant role of ratifying them. In the case of a treaty, the Senate must ratify it by a two-thirds vote. A so-called congressional executive agreement requires a majority vote in both the House and the Senate, which, because of procedural rules, effectively means a three-fifths vote in the Senate. Anything not approved by Congress is a mere executive agreement. Second, the offices of our Constitution have different characteristics. For example, the President may serve only 2 4-year terms, whereas Senators may serve an unlimited number of 6-year terms. As applied today, for instance, President Obama will leave office in January 2017, while most of us will remain in office well beyond then, perhaps decades. What these two constitutional provisions mean is that we will consider any agreement regarding your nuclear weapons program that is not approved by the Congress as nothing more than an executive agreement between President Obama and Ayatollah Khomeini. The next president could revoke such an executive agreement with the stroke of a pen, and the future Congresses could modify the terms of the agreement at any time. We hope this letter enriches your knowledge of our Constitution, of our constitutional system, and promotes mutual understanding and clarity as nuclear negotiations progress. Sincerely. So, you can see the letter was a civics lesson for the leaders of Iran. At least it was couched as such. It was intended to foul up President Obama's Iran deal by explaining to them that if Obama skirts the Constitution, as he obviously intends to do, if he skirts the Senate ratification requirements, that it would be nothing more than an executive agreement between President Obama and the Ayatollah, which could be revoked by the next president or future Congress. Presidential spokesperson Josh Earnest said that the nefarious heirs of the Bush administration are, quote, using a mass civics lesson, end quote, to push for a military option instead of negotiations. He said their strategy is clear, and that is to undermine negotiations. Well, he's right. It is clear that they want to undermine the negotiations, and it is also clear that he wants to convey the impression that the only choices are war or his president's negotiations. He also said, quote, the efforts of neocons in the previous administration to advance the military option frankly hurt the country's standing around the world. Every time this president says something, I think it's a joke. He can't be serious, I think. But he actually wants us to take him seriously. He has done more to undermine the standing of this country around the world than any person, I would argue, in American history. Then President Obama is speaking for himself. He says the Republican, he accused the Republicans of being in league with the hardliners in Iran. So the Republicans and the hardliners in Iran are in it together, he says. They don't like the deal either. The New York Daily News on its front page had Republican senators pictured with the word traitors underneath. Then the president resorted to the old Nancy Pelosi tactic. Let's see whether we can get a deal, he said. Whether we can get a deal or not, then we'll be able to make the case to the American people. So let's get a signed deal. Then we'll take it to the American people after it's already a done deal. The dispute between the Republicans and the White House is obviously intensifying and out in the open, even internationally. Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to Congress apparently gave the senators cover for what they are trying to do. They did not have the backbone to tell the president what he needs to have been told his entire time in office, and that is, without their approval, he has no authority to bind the country beyond his term in office. But now, thanks to his presentation of what a better deal would look like, and that it did not have to mean war, apparently, the Senate Republicans have developed at least a little bit of backbone. Many would argue that the deal as proposed would make war more likely, since Israel wouldn't like it and would perhaps act unilaterally. Perhaps the president has promised Saudi Arabia to protect them and other Arab states to protect them if Iran gets nuclear weapons. The U.S. nuclear umbrella would cover them. Maybe he said that. I don't know for sure. It looks suspiciously like he has. Perhaps he has told them. The U.S. nuclear umbrella, that just means, folks, if you attack one of these countries with nuclear weapons, the United States will respond in like kind. Another president did this for South Korea when he allowed North Korea to develop nuclear weapons. Carolyn Glick, writing for the To the Point News Service, says that the leader of South Korea was recently in Saudi Arabia, perhaps to let the Saudis know what the U.S. nuclear umbrella is really like. Ms. Glick points out that the umbrella requires the South Koreans to suffer one indignity and humiliation after another so that the United States does not have to confront the North Koreans. Finally, folks, we watch and we wonder what they're doing up there. They play their games on the grand chessboard. We're just the pawns. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.